In June, when the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, it meant that the fight over abortion officially moved to the states, state legislatures, state elections, and state courthouses. And our colleague Laura Cosisto says that since then, there's one state that's been getting a lot of attention, Kansas.
It was just one of those states where there was tension, where the states where the future was unclear, that no matter who you talk to, whether they were on the left or the right, whether they were pro-abortion or anti-abortion, people kept bringing this up as the state to watch, the state where they were planning to put their money, the state where they were planning to put their people, the kind of big fight that was on the horizon.
For years, Kansas has been one of a few conservative states with more open access to abortion. But tomorrow, Kansans will vote on a referendum that could change that and open the door for Republican lawmakers to pass tough abortion restrictions.
And so you've ended up with this really kind of deeply uncertain situation, this place where we just really don't know what the future will look like. You could either see Kansas become really this abortion destination in the South and the Midwest, become one of the few places where abortion is still legal and have people coming kind of from all over that region, or you could see Kansas enact a pretty strict abortion ban. And even now, sitting where I am today, I can't tell you which of those two things is going to happen. So this is, I would say, it's a huge deal, certainly in Kansas, but I would say it's also a big deal nationally. And so for both sides, it's this really kind of crucial test about the future of abortion access.
Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Ryan Knutson. It's Monday, August 1st. Coming up on the show, the nation's first major abortion vote in a post-Roe world.
This episode is brought to you by C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
The story of why Kansas is voting on this referendum now began in 2015. That year, the Republican-controlled legislature in Kansas passed a law that banned a certain type of second trimester abortion procedure called a dilation and evacuation.
And it's a very controversial sort of abortion, but that medically is considered one, you know, sometimes the safest type of abortion in the second trimester. And so the legislature outlawed this with some exceptions.
How common is this type of abortion?
This type of abortion, it's one of the more common methods used in the second trimester, but it should be said that the vast majority of abortions take place in the first trimester. It is, you know, rare to have second trimester abortions at all, but when you do have an abortion in the second trimester, this is a common method for doing it. It is considered safer than many of the alternatives, and, you know, less sort of traumatic often for the woman as well.
Abortion providers in the state sued, saying it would force them to use riskier abortion procedures. And in 2019, the Kansas State Supreme Court ruled in their favor and struck down the law. But rather than just blocking the law, the state Supreme Court went further.
And so the Kansas State Supreme Court looked at the first clause of the Kansas State Constitution, which protects, broadly speaking, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And they looked at this and said, based on kind of the history that we're looking at and these other things, we think that this should be read to protect a right to sort of bodily autonomy, and that as part of that right to bodily autonomy, it's the sort of right to make the decision about what one does with one's own body.
So the Supreme Court ruling essentially overturned this 2015 law that banned this particular abortion procedure.
That's correct. It blocked the law, but in blocking the law, kind of created this broader right, this broader protection that then made it very difficult for the legislature to pass any other laws restricting or banning abortion in Kansas.
So what did this court ruling mean for Kansas?
It really essentially kind of froze Kansas in time. It tied the hands of the legislature. And so while many of their more conservative neighbors were passing laws banning or heavily restricting abortion, Kansas could not do the same thing. And so you saw Kansas become a kind of a destination in the region. And so after Texas banned abortions after 6 weeks, then Oklahoma banned most abortions. And so you just saw Kansas just see this kind of significant uptick in people traveling from out of state. I spoke with one doctor who said she sees patients who, you know, are driving overnight now to get to Kansas and get an abortion. And so it kind of changed it from this sort of fairly sleepy place to being this sort of really kind of critical access point, and also this kind of critical point of opposition for people who don't want to see it become an abortion destination.
The state Supreme Court ruling meant that the only way for Kansas to seriously restrict abortion would be to change the state's constitution. So that's exactly what some Republicans are trying to do. That's after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. If you're like most people, you've had your fair share of financial questions. Questions like, will you be able to afford a third kid? Will you be able to do everything you want when you retire? What if you outlive your savings? Empower knows these questions can be stressful, so they're here to help answer your what-ifs and empower what's next. Join 18 million Americans and take control of your financial future. Tap the banner to learn more or visit empower.com.
This episode is brought to you by Vonage. With Vonage Video API, your developers can easily create custom video experiences tailored to your business. Enhance every conversation with live video, whether it's delivering faster tech support, improving customer service, or enabling interactive meetings and events. Unlock the true video potential of your business. Discover how at Vonage.com.
In January of 2021, Kansas State Republicans agreed to put a constitutional amendment on the ballot for the following year's midterm primary elections.
So the amendment, it's called the Value Them Both Amendment. It kind of explicitly says that there is no right to abortion in the Kansas state constitution. And, you know, that allows voters to essentially overrule their state Supreme Court and, you know, to really essentially vacate that state Supreme Court decision. And that will then kind of untie the hands of the legislature if they want to pass more restrictive abortion laws in the state.
If this referendum was being written before Roe versus Wade was overturned, why would it help to put this into the Kansas state constitution if there was still this blanket protection at the federal level?
You know, at that point in January 2021, I'm sure they were anticipating that Roe v. Wade might be overturned, or that at the very least, the U.S. Supreme Court might uphold a 15-week ban on abortion. And so I think that they were anticipating that these federal constitutional protections for abortion were going to be eliminated or weakened. And I think they wanted to untie their own hands. They wanted to allow to sort of be able to pass more restrictions.
In June of this year, the Supreme Court did overturn Roe v. Wade and its decision on Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization. And suddenly, the referendum in Kansas became extremely important.
The stakes are much higher. And so the anti-abortion side, on the folks who support the amendment, if the amendment passes, the legislature will have really largely a pretty free hand to pass abortion restrictions. And then on the flip side, on the side that opposes the amendment, if they win, they protect, you know, this kind of island of access in the South and the Midwest. And that is sort of critical for them. You have a situation where nationally about half of states are expected to ban or heavily restrict abortion. And that's just going to put a lot of pressure on the remaining states. And so on the kind of pro-abortion rights side, they would really like to protect access, in particular, like a geographically very strategic state like this.
Since Roe was overturned, money has been flooding into Kansas. Laura says anti-abortion activists nationwide have raised about $5 million, and abortion rights activists have raised about $6.5 million.
Everything I've heard from people in Kansas is it feels like abortion is just everywhere. We have a quote from an election official in Kansas saying, it was like if you were having a bonfire in your backyard and someone came and poured lighter fluid on it. It was already a hot topic and it just exploded after the Dobbs decision. As best as we can tell, it seems to have created a much tighter race and certainly a much more closely watched, much more contentious race, both locally and nationally. And so, you know, if you're driving down a highway in Kansas, there's billboards by the pro-abortion side with Rosie the Riveter talking about women's rights and that sort of thing. And likewise, I'm told that if you turn on the television, you see, again, what are by the standards of a Kansas referendum, very sophisticated, highly produced ads.
I won't support putting a woman's life at risk. And that's just what this constitutional amendment does.
Abortion in the final month of pregnancy could now be 100% allowed here.
It's a government mandate that could ban all abortions with no exceptions, even rape and incest.
Joe Biden and liberal justices are pushing to mandate abortion in Kansas with no restrictions, making Kansas an abortion destination.
And you see, you know, both sides really kind of trying to just sort of blanket the airwaves. And also, I mean, another thing worth mentioning is just both sides spending a ton of money on canvassers, people going out, you know, hiring university students to go out door to door and also really try to get voters engaged that way. It's really a kind of almost unprecedented get out the vote effort in the state right now.
And election officials in Kansas are preparing for a much higher turnout than in a typical midterm primary.
In some places, you know, in Johnson County, for example, which is one of the largest counties in the state, just south of Kansas City, you know, where we'd normally see a turnout of something like 20 to 30%, we could see turnout closer to 67, you know, 70%. And so that would be huge turnout for a primary election in August. And if that's what we see, would really kind of give us a sense of how much this has energized voters.
And what's the sense now from polling about which way this thing might go, which side might win?
One of the unfortunate things is we don't have a wealth of polling data on this, but certainly the perception of political observers in the state has been that the front runner all along has been the anti-abortion side, the side that supports the amendment, but that there is this kind of the polling that we're seeing and also the fundraising that we're seeing indicates that the pro-abortion rights side, the side that opposes the amendment, has, you know, some meaningful momentum right now.
So what will it mean for Kansas if this referendum passes?
Really what it would mean is that you would see Kansas very likely start to look a lot more like its neighbors. Kansas will look much more similar to a Texas or an Oklahoma or a Missouri. You know, you'll likely see clinics have to stop providing many abortions, most abortions, potentially shut their doors. You see kind of a story that looks much more similar to the story in Republican-led states around the country right now.
And if the referendum fails and the abortion rights side wins, what does that mean for Kansas?
It will remain this sort of abortion haven in the South and the Midwest. I don't think that that means that abortion goes away as an issue in the state. I think you're going to continue to see it be a point of controversy. I think you will likely see this issue come back up again and again. But for now, at least, you'll see Kansas kind of stay this abortion haven. You may see new clinics opening, clinics expanding capacity. It would be a kind of really interesting situation in a, you know, otherwise pretty conservative state.
And whether or not this referendum passes or fails, what does it say about where we are right now as a country when it comes to abortion?
I think that it says at core that this has become a state issue in a way that it has not been for more than 50 years. One way or another, you're going to see abortion play a crucial role in state elections, in how state courts are selected, and you're going to see more of these types of referendums. There's already a handful more of these referendums on the ballot in November. I think it's really a kind of symbol of how you're going to see more of these really deeply fought, contentious battles about what does abortion look like in states around the country. And from the perspective of anti-abortion groups, I think they're going to make the argument that that's as it should be, that this is the argument we should have been having for the last 50 years, and we should have been letting states make these kinds of decisions. And from this perspective of pro-abortion groups, they're going to say, this is the sort of disaster that the Supreme Court has wrought in creating the situation of deep uncertainty, of deep kind of divisions and partisanship around the issue of abortion in states.
That's all for today, Monday, August 1st. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. Additional reporting in this episode by Joe Barrett and Jennifer Kalfas. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.